We appreciate all the talent that is being displayed here by various persons in our congregation. And if God has given you some kind of talent, we'd like to make it possible for you to share that talent with the church family. So consider it, okay? Consider it. I'm reading in the book of Jeremiah right now. I read through the Bible. I try and read through the Bible at least once a year. Sometimes we are able to do it more than once. But right now I'm reading in the book of Jeremiah, and I'm reading it slowly because I have to go back and reread many times. And you might have the same problem of you don't lose your place. You just can't remember what you just read. Your eyes are going over the words, but they're not making an impression. But there is a verse that always, every time I see it, it makes an impression on me. And the thing the verse I'd like to read and share with you is Jeremiah 8:20. Jeremiah 8:20. Jeremiah was one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. Jeremiah 8:20 tells us this. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The summer is past, the harvest is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah is sometimes considered to be a very sad book for a lot of Christians, for a lot of readers. Jeremiah suffered a great amount of persecution. He was wronged in so many different ways, so many times, but he continued to be faithful to his Lord. He continued to proclaim the word, and it is something. I had to think about this as I was reading it. When a prophet or anyone stands up and said, "Thus saith the Lord." Because that is a call to attention. God is going to say something, and it's not just idle words. It's going to mean something. This verse that we opened with, Jeremiah 8:20, causes me to reflect on some of the people that I have witnessed to. And you have probably experienced the same thing. You witnessed to someone about how to be saved, how to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and they reject your witness. And some of those people I know, because they have left this life, they've lived it and lost it. And my mother would be about among some of those also that are probably now in hell. So Jeremiah is a very, very important book. Christmas is over and the wrapping paper is either shredded by the kids or saved by grandma for some other occasion. Or again, you know, balled up and wadded up by the adults and in the room, and the kids are off playing somewhere with the boxes, and the toys that were in them are in a pile in the middle of the living room. A lot of effort went into preparing for Christmas. There were the gifts to buy or make. There was the decorating to do. There was the food that had to be prepared. And there were secrets that had to be kept till Christmas Day. But now, that's over. What should be the next great event in any of our lives? The depression that sets in knowing that we overspent. We spent money we didn't have. That's going on all over this country this morning. What should come next? one of two things. And this is what I want us to think about this morning. There should be one of two things. There should either be regret for the things that we didn't get accomplished this year, or there should be anticipation for what God is going to do in our lives in this year to come. Regret or anticipation? And as you prepare to enter into the new year on Friday, that doesn't seem possible. What happened to 2020? I'm still in the 1900s. But the people of the world who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, for them, the year ahead may be a little scary. There's a lot of stuff going on. Stuff like the Corona 19 virus. And now England has got a mutation, and they've been basically cut off without testing from coming here so that it's not brought here. And actually, it's a weaker strain, but it is a more infectious strain and easier to be picked up. So they're trying to keep that from coming here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, that might be something scary for you. But if you do know Jesus, you don't have to be afraid, because we have the verse in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. David Jeremiah used that this morning on his program. Now, in case no one noticed, I'm a bit of an optimist. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. I think very positively. I expect nothing but good things to take place in our lives. And I really believe what the Bible says in Romans 8:28. I really do. That whatever it is that comes into our life, it is there. God has put it there for our good. God does not plan to harm any one of you in this year to come. God doesn't do that. He doesn't work that way. God is a God of hope. God is a God of blessing. God is a God of provision. God is also a God of abundance. But if you don't know Him, or you don't know His Son, you will not experience that God. The question for all of us is going to be, what is God's purpose for you in this new year to come? He had a purpose when you entered 2020. Now, whether or not you accomplished it, I don't know. Only you know. Only you can communicate with you and God about that. But I do know for a fact, I know that from the Word, that God has a purpose for each one of us who knows Jesus Christ as Savior for the year 2021. And we have just, if we want to go in planning on that and working towards that, we have just 5 days to figure out what that is. And you're not going to do it in a crowd. In fact, you may not do it here in the church. It may take some God and I time where you get alone with Him. And you talk to Him, and you talk to the Holy Spirit living within your heart. And you talk to Jesus. All three of them are available. They're as close as a word. And they're prepared. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. God wants us to know what He has planned for us. And in some cases, It's us. They're the obstacle. We don't want to know. Because we fear bad things. But folks, let me reassure you, God will not do anything bad to you. You say, how can you say that? Maybe this year he took someone from you that you depended upon, somebody you loved. But he took them to heaven, to be with him. And the day is coming when one day we will be back with them. Especially if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we prepare to think about what God's purpose for us might be this year, I want to try and help a little bit. And so I want to give you a few Bible verses because my counsel is totally worthless when it comes to God. God is the only one who matters. And so let's start off with Philippians 4:13. That was one of Paul's favorite verses, Philippians 4:13. And I want this to become your verse for this year, this coming year. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That was Paul's banner that he worked under. That was Paul's banner that he went out and suffered persecution under. But he believed that. And God gave him that he could share it with us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I haven't heard very many people make that claim lately. You might have it in your heart, but I haven't heard you boasting about it. You know, it really isn't whether you believe it. The real question is, are you willing to try? Are you willing to try? If God opens a door in front of you, are you willing to go through that door? No matter what might be standing on the other side. Remember Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress? And by the way, if you haven't read Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, get it and read it. You have to buy it. Get it and read it. And his principal character, Christian, was on his way to the celestial city. And he went through so many different circumstances. And the thing about it is that I think I said that the last time I used his name. But Christian had to go through various temptations. And one of them was lions on both sides of the path. What he couldn't see, and what we don't see, is a lot of times those lions are on heavy chains and they can only come so far. And we have room to walk through them. John Bunyan is the name, by the way. He is the one who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. We lived in Minnesota too long. That's where I got the Paul Bunyan. So we know we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. If God opens a door for you this coming year, will you go through it? Will you at least try? No matter what it is. Because he has nothing but good for you. Now, some pessimists might tell me that this coming year is going to be a really bad year, that none of us should expect very much to come out of it. Well, I have another portion of scripture for you this morning. Something else you can think about. Now, you're in Philippians 4. We looked at verse 13. Let's look at verses 6 through 9. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. It says, and my wife tells me this all the time, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What more do you need to get through this life than to have the God of peace walking with you wherever you go, knowing that whatever it is he's going to take you through, it's going to be for your good, and it's working together for good. Now, I heard Rush Limbaugh this past week talking about an opportunity that one of the news agencies gave him several years ago when Barack Obama was voted in as president. And they said he could have up to 400 words. They wanted him to make a statement of up to 400 words of how he felt about President Obama being elected. It didn't take him 400 words. It took him just 4 words. I hope he fails. I hope he fails. Now, Rush's comment was just 4 words, but I hope that if you are a pessimist, that you have a terrible year, that you just can't find anything to be pessimistic about, okay? Because everything's going good. We've seen that here at the church. Some of you came in and you suggested, you know, other churches have blessing boxes. Why don't we put one out there? And Ed went ahead and built one for us. He even installed it. Did a good job. And that is such a blessing to people. I see people taking food out of that box almost every day. And you ladies who are making sure it stays filled are seeing the same thing. Who would have thought? A simple thing like a box full of food that people could just come by and take. I saw a man this morning before church, before any of you got here, pull up and take some stuff out of it. Think of the good. Think of the people who are having something to eat because there's food put out there. And some of you, though you're not, you know, you can't participate by being here checking on it all the time, you're putting money in for the blessing box, and so the ladies are able to buy food and gloves and I don't know what all else. Yeah, they're buying Bibles and they're disappearing. What a blessing. What a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. So see, God has purpose for each one of us. And it isn't just for today. It's for the year to come. He has something. We didn't have that blessing box out there at the beginning of last year. But that fulfills part of the purpose that Jesus Christ has given us. Provide for the poor, provide for the hungry. You know, as we go into things, the attitude that we have affects our relationships and our experience. If we go into this year with a bad attitude, this isn't going to be a good year, this is going to be a horrible year, what can you expect? But I hope you pessimists have a terrible year. that all kinds of good stuff happens to you. You can't find anything to be pessimistic about. You hear that, honey? God has promised us all things are going to work together for good. Now, does God want your life to be one of misery? No, indeed. He wants your life to be one of blessing and service to Him. And He's able to make even problems into blessings for the person who seeks Him first. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Folks, that's a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and He will add all these things. God's standing by, waiting to bless you. If you are in the place where you can receive His blessing. I can be in another place, and He's not there to bless you, but we know He's everywhere, but He has a particular place and a particular blessing for each one of you. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God first? How would you describe the kingdom of God? Well, how would you describe the kingdom of God? Well, it's made up of God's people. It's made up, first of all, of the Jews who believed God, that He was going to send a Messiah, who believed Him to a point that they were willing to bring those sacrifices to the temple for their sins. So they were in a relationship where they could talk to God, where they could be with God. And then along came Jesus Christ. And suddenly we have the church born in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And from that point on, Christians were also God's people. The Jews were not omitted. Christians are also God's people. So we are part of God's people. And so that would be the Jews, that would be the Christians that have believed and obeyed Him. Then there are all the souls that have placed their trust in Jesus Christ for what He did on Calvary and when He rose from the dead. These two groups comprise the kingdom of God, but there's some others, just a few. There's a few million angels we read about in the book of Revelation, we read about in other places. That's all the kingdom of God. And folks, we may not be there right now, but if you know Jesus Christ, you are headed there. And you are going to be there one day, and you're going to be there forever. Now, there are still a few lost souls, just a few, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so if you wanted a purpose for this coming year, what if one of those lost souls whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God is just waiting, they are just waiting for someone to come along and tell them about Jesus. And they're ready to believe, they've got some kind of faith in their hearts. But what if that person were your mate? What if that person were your brother, your sister, your parents? What if that person were the neighbor next door? And what if that person, and this is a possibility, folks, what if that person were to be the last person that needed to be saved before the rapture? Wouldn't that be fantastic for you to be telling and leading somebody to Christ, and the moment that they believed, suddenly the sky opens and Christ is seen coming on a cloud to receive His church? Wow. You would have fulfilled your purpose for this coming year. and we'd all go home. It could happen. It could happen. God wants to be our Father, but He also wants to be our teacher for the purpose that He has given each one of us in this year to come. He has given us several lists of things that we can do. We looked at Philippians 4 and the things that we're supposed to think on. We also saw that we could do all things through Christ. But it seems the Apostle Paul had made up lists for us. Peter also made up some lists. And so I'd like to refer to his list. In 2 Peter 1:3-8, I know it's a lengthy passage, but let's look at that. 2 Peter 1:3-8. Listen to what Peter had to say. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Okay? God called you to be saved. And when you were saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled you, and suddenly you had some knowledge that he brought with him and some virtue that he brought with him. Then Peter goes on in verse 4 to say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love or charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, folks, that we're supposed to be producing fruit. We're supposed to be producing fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing? I've asked the question before and I'll ask it again. Is the fruit that glorifies God what you're producing, or are you producing rotten fruit? I'd like to give you an example of fruit in each of our lives that might be used as an application for each of us. When you go to the grocery store, buy bananas. I don't know what kind of bananas you like, but there are certain kinds my wife and I don't like. When we buy bananas, we like them just a little bit green, just a tinge of green, turning yellow, and they are nice and crisp. They have that tang that a banana is supposed to have. And sometimes they look so good, we'll buy a big bunch. Now, we have a place we hang our bananas. Very obvious that they're there. As time goes by, those bananas ripen. And we will eat them. We'll peel one off and eat it with breakfast or during the day. But as time goes a little further by, something takes place. It's called brown spot. And at that point, the banana is getting a little mushy. And if you let the brown spot develop enough, that banana turns black. And you know what we do with those bananas? We throw them away. Now, see, many of you have got ways to use those. We don't. We throw them away. What kind of fruit are you producing for the Lord? Are you producing nice, fresh fruit? Chris Pruitt? Or are you providing or producing rotten fruit that is of no benefit to anybody? God expects you to produce some kind of fruit in this year to come. That's one of the purposes he has for you. And he's going to do everything he can to help you. He is. He's going to go ahead of you with his Holy Spirit. He's going to touch the heart of the one you're going to witness to. He's going to prepare that heart. And they still have the opportunity to reject your witness. But he's going to prepare them. What kind of fruit are you going to produce in this year to come? And as we prepare for a new year, I'd like to ask what kind of fruit you might be producing. Is it the kind of fruit that the Lord's looking for? Is he going to give you opportunities because you're faithful? Have you learned and matured so that you look forward with anticipation toward what is going to be accomplished in this year to come? I hope you have. I hope you know the Lord close enough to be able to trust him with your future. I've told you now that we have a purpose for God, and he has done all he can, all he should do to prepare us for his service. Did we miss opportunities last year? Were there people that we should have said something to that we did not? I'm sure that all of us did. But can we change our approach to the new year, in this new year, that we might consider ourselves the servants of God, that we might consider ourselves the ambassadors for Jesus Christ? And if so, will you serve in that capacity? What we did this past year and what we do in this coming year will determine whether or not we have regrets or anticipation. It's your choice. Your choice. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us opportunities to read your word, to study your word, to memorize your word. And then, Father, thank you for going ahead of us and preparing the hearts of those that we minister to. May your will be done in each life. May we see you working in our lives. And Father, may we rejoice and be grateful for what you're doing. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we love you and we know you love us. May this coming year be a fruitful year for everyone here in this auditorium, and we will praise you, Father, for what you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.